The economy, oil drilling in Alaska, the Middle East, these are all issues prominent in national politics nowadays. And to talk about them and other topics, here are our regular guest political commentators, David Brooks of the Weekly Standard and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. Welcome once again to both of you.
Good to see
you.
As we've heard, the economy grew big time in the first quarter of this year. First question, can anyone in Washington take credit for it? E.J.?
No, but they will anyway, I think is the answer. I think it's very hard to say that this economic growth stemmed from the tax cuts of last year, especially since most of the tax cuts hadn't taken effect right now. But it does rob the Democrats of one of the best issues they hoped to run on, which was sort of declining economic growth or a recession. It looks like there won't be a recession in November.
David Brooks, you agree that the tax cut can't be given any credit here for the growth in the beginning of the year?
Yeah, and for the reason EJ located. It's mostly the tax cut is going to take place in 5 or 6 years. My wife and I are renovating our house. I think we account for about 2% of the GDP growth. There's a little bubble around our house. I guess the only person within 50 miles of where we're sitting is Alan Greenspan, mm-hmm. sainted Alan Greenspan, who did aggressively cut rates. And he was in the doghouse for about a year. I suspect he's gone back to heaven.
Hmm. Well, two things that have happened since we last spoke here were, one, the Senate Democrats defeated drilling in the Alaska Wildlife Refuge, ANWR. And also, Democratic presidential hopefuls, even if they don't call themselves that, started to criticize President Bush's domestic programs and to speak out against him. Have we turned a corner here towards a more partisan debate in Washington? David Brooks?
Yeah, certainly. It's always been true on domestic policy. I think the big news actually in the last week or two is the debate on foreign policy. You're beginning to see Democrats, not only Joe Lieberman, but John Kerry, Edwards, the whole range of Democrats, arguing about the president's foreign policy from all different angles, some of them saying Bush is being too wishy-washy in the Middle East, some saying he's not being aggressive enough in Afghanistan, some questioning the axis of evil. So to me, the big story is the emergence of a Democratic foreign policy debate, a debate they have been loath to have so far because there are so many different schools of Democratic foreign policy thinking. But now it's let a thousand flowers bloom.
E.J. Dionne, what do you make of this this new phase of the political debate?
Well, I think you had two important things happen that really opened the way for, if you will, more normal politics. We really didn't have normal politics after September 11th for the obvious reasons. I think it was very important that Al Gore finally spoke out. And I think Gore was in a better position than anyone else to lead an attack on Bush because Tom Daschle is constrained by having essentially no real majority to work with in the Senate. Dick Gephardt is constrained because he worries all the time about winning marginal seats in fairly conservative areas. So I think when Gore spoke out, it made it much easier for every other Democrat to speak out. I think the second thing is...
We should say Gore spoke out. Both at a Florida State Democratic gathering and also in the op-ed page of the New York Times.
And on Earth Day, where, in fact, for the first time since the campaign, on the front pages of many papers, you actually saw a real exchange between Bush and Gore on the environment. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing that happened is the president ran into a lot of trouble on the Middle East, and it was as much about competence as it was about ideology, if you'll forgive me for paraphrasing Michael Dukakis, where lots of people asked questions about how did the president get himself into this box. His policy, at least verbally, seemed to change from day to day. Once you had Republicans even coming out and challenging him on his performance on foreign policy, it became much easier for Democrats to do exactly what David said. And they've challenged him partly from the right in the case of Lieberman, but also from a not particularly ideological position and asking why didn't he engage earlier and did that cost us in the Middle East?
Well, David Brooks, what do you make of this? In the past couple of weeks, we've had the president saying, I told Ariel Sharon to withdraw from the West Bank and I meant business. And apparently he didn't because he didn't seem at all upset when Sharon didn't withdraw right away from the West Bank. Powell's trip, which didn't seem to accomplish very much, perhaps it averted more fighting on the northern border of Israel. Is the administration starting to look a little less expert than it did in the months after September 11th?
There's no question there were about 2 weeks of wobbliness there, especially when Colin Powell was basically given a free portfolio to go off and try to craft a compromise. It didn't work. It only pushed the Arab regimes closer into the Iraqi hands. It certainly didn't liberate Yasser Arafat or move him to renounce terror in any meaningful way. So there was that period of wobbliness. I'd say, though, in the past 10 days, there has been a return to normal. It's become clear again that Bush has returned to stone. He's got a brick foreign policy, and the three little pigs can huff and puff, and that we're still going to talk about Iraq.
6 months ago, after the attacks of September 11th, everything was different in Washington. Everything was special. The country had been attacked. Military forces were being mobilized. There was a need to confer with allies abroad. I wonder right now, 6 months later, whether you feel anything special at all about the state of the country because troops are engaged either in Afghanistan and a little bit of Pakistan or in Afghanistan and quite a bit of Pakistan, or are we back to normal? Is it simply now accepted as part of the landscape that there's this war against terror going on, but everything else is business as usual?
Go ahead, David.
From my point of view, the landscape has transformed utterly, mostly because foreign policy is now the dominant issue. There was a presumption a couple months after September 11th that we would return after some period to domestic politics. I think that's not going to happen anytime soon, in part because there's no money left in the federal budget to support any big domestic ideas that we can argue about, but secondly, because this war on terror is real. The biggest event to me of the last 2 weeks has been a series of meetings the president had over the last weekend with his military advisors planning the war strategy for Iraq. That's still happening. It's happening subtly. I think it explains the relatively gentle treatment Prince Abdullah of Saudi Arabia got in Crawford, Texas, because I think subtly behind the scenes, they're probably playing some sort of constructive role. So that's the big story. It's submerged now, but it is transforming American politics.
And E.J. Dionne?
Well, first of all, I think that there's still a split between the State Department and the Defense Department. I don't think that the brick wall that David talks about has been built as firmly as he suggests. And so I think that in itself is a change. But I also disagree with David that domestic issues have gone away. One of the striking things in the polling is that for whatever reason, Democrats seem to have gained some ground in these hypothetical races for hypothetical questions about the race for Congress in the fall. And I think that is because issues such as the environment with Anwar have come to the fore. Tom Daschle has been much more aggressive in saying, no, we're not going to make the president's tax cut permanent. He is willing to draw a line in the sand, which suggests to me that Democrats have a lot of polling saying Americans actually don't want to continue down the fiscal or economic road that Bush laid out a year ago.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution and David Brooks of The Weekly Standard, thank you both very much once again.
Thank you.